The Bible says that this young man that we're talking about today, that he's ended up in this place. He's like an ox going to the slaughter. It says that he's like a fool in the correction stocks. And now the NIV throws in a little something different, but let me give you the picture that the NIV points, and it says it's like a deer that's going into a trap. A deer that's going into a trap.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Where Did the Young Man Go Wrong? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Where Did the Young Man Go Wrong?
In this passage, it's not being hard on the females, but what it is doing is that it is personifying temptation as a harlot. So that's the analogy that's being made there. So as we look at this passage, we see that the young man went wrong in three places. First of all, he descended to the wrong places. Secondly, he dealt with the wrong people. And third, he desired the wrong pleasures. Where are you at? Where are you at today? Are you hanging in the wrong places? Are you hanging out with the wrong people? And are you satisfying your desires with the wrong pleasures? Verse 8 and 9, it says that he was passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Here he was in the wrong neighborhood, and he was there at night. He was in the wrong place. He shouldn't have been there. Now, I don't know if any of y'all remember that show Hee Haw. Yeah, so the younger people won't remember that, but that's, you know, back in the day, you know, it was a western or cowboy show. And I remember there was a guy on there. He was named Doc Campbell. I don't know if y'all remember him, but I remember a patient came to him, and the patient said, "Doc, I broke my arm in two places." And Doc Campbell said, "Well, you need to stay out of both places." That's some pretty good advice. You need to stay out of both places, right? I remember I was talking to a gentleman. He was dealing with addiction. And I was talking to him about, you know, giving his life to the Lord. And he prayed then. And I was actually able to lead this guy to the Lord. He prayed and accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. And then I remember telling him, because there was a place, I grew up in Braddock, and there was a place in Braddock called Sixth Street. And at the time, that's where all the drug addicts hung out, and that's where they sold drugs. It was right there on 6th Street, Braddock Avenue and 6th Street. And I remember telling him specifically, all right, now you're struggling, you know, you've given your life to the Lord, you know, you probably need to go get some more help, but let me just tell you right away, one of the things that you need to do, and I'm going to ask somebody to help me finish it, is that you need to stay away from what? you know what I'm talking about. You need to stay away from 6th Street because that's getting you into trouble. And so, saints, what is it that's getting you into trouble? What is it? What place do you go? Now, I'm going to say this, right? Some of y'all might get mad at me, but I'm going to say this anyway. Some of you need to stay away from the computer. If you want to avoid the devil, you got to stay away from his neighborhood. Some of y'all need to write that down, right? That's profound, right? If you want to stay away, if you want to avoid the devil, you need to stay away from his neighborhood, right? So what is the place that gets you into trouble? What is the place that is the source of your temptation And what is the place where you find yourself succumbing to temptation? Let me read about this guy again. Look, he was somewhere he shouldn't have been. Passing, verse 8, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. He was in the wrong place. And let's look at the next thing. He was hanging out with the wrong people. Verses 10 through 12. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. And she is outside, now in the streets, and lies in wait at every corner. That you can't, there's certain people that you can't hang out with. I've said this before from this pulpit. I'm going to say it again. And you should probably write this down. Show me your company, and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends. Show me your friends. Show me who you're hanging out with right now, and I will I'll show you your future. You don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar. You don't have to be a scientist to figure out. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil company. Be not deceived. Evil company. Or communication, the King James said, but the translation there is company, corrupts good manners or good morals. What is that saying? That's saying if you hang around evil folks, that it's going to corrupt you and you're going to become evil. Saints, let me give you a word of advice. Young people, let me give you a word of advice. That if you think that you're hanging around a certain group of people and you're going to help them to become righteous and godly, let me give you another idea. Let me tell you something else. That the chances are, and I don't have the statistics on this. I really don't. So I'm making this up. The statistics, anyways. But I can almost say that it's 99.9% of the time that if you're hanging around the wrong people, that and you're trying to influence them, that the chances are they're going to influence you before you influence them. And the next thing you know, you're going to be like this guy right here. And you're going to be like a ox going to the slaughter. You're going to be like a deer caught in the trap. You're going to be like a bird getting ready to get caught in the net. Because you're hanging around the wrong people. That's why Proverbs said, earn, sharpens iron. Man, you need to get around some good, godly people. Or even if you don't get around good, godly people, at least get around people that's trying to be positive. Because if you hang around a bunch of deadbeats, you know, they're definitely going to wear off on you. You know, get around some people that's going to be like iron, and that's going to sharpen you, that's going to motivate you to go deeper in your faith, that's going to motivate you to go wide in your faith, that's going to motivate you to be all that God would have you to be. Man, choose your friends wisely. If somebody told me that there was when you first go into Alaska, there's a sign that says, choose your rut wisely because you'll be in it for the next 100 miles. And I want to tell you the same thing. Choose your friends wisely because you're going to be with them for a long time. Oh, man. He dealt with the wrong people. And then we see he desired the wrong pleasures. My. He desired the wrong pleasures. Let's read this real slow. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, ah, I've made peace offerings. I have peace offerings with me. This day I paid my vows. You know what she's saying? I just left church. Woo! She said, I just left church. Where did you go to offer? Where did you go to vow? You went to the temple, right? So sometimes the saints ain't. And keep in mind that Satan is like Hallmark. He cares enough to send only the very best. Somebody who said they just left church. I'm religious. Verse 15. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently, to seek thy face. I have found thee. And now look, she's going to make it real good, right? She's going to make it real good. She said, I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, embroidered works with fine linen from Egypt. 100 count. Only the finest thread from Egypt. And we got the best. These are going to be some soft sheets and soft covers. I perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloe, and cinnamon. Oh, it smells good. Up in here. You're talking about pleasure, right? I mean, what? This is all about pleasure. All right, let me say this. That you can make yourself feel a certain way, and you can make yourself feel that way for so long that you think is right. You know, I think that everybody that, and I know there's a thing, you know, that talks about, you know, homosexuality and how that, you know, some people were born that way. But as I look at society today, there's some situations where it's not a matter of, even if you want to argue that point, right? I'm not saying that that's a point to be argued. But even if you want to argue that point, it's a matter of, I chose this, and I like it. I chose this, and I like it. I don't know if this guy before was used to these fine sheets and fine linen. I don't know before if he was used to having cinnamon and aloe and spices on his sheets. But just think about it. It feels good, man. This smells good. And what does Satan do? Satan approaches the very nature of what we struggle with sometimes. And he makes it feel so good. As somebody said, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. I'd rather be wrong doing right, right? And so just like this right here, you know, we can make ourselves feel a certain way, and we can, you know, desire certain pleasures. He desired the wrong pleasures. Look what she said in verse 18. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. Look, pleasure after pleasure after pleasure after pleasure. Let us solace. That means this, and then in case you know, you're misunderstanding, come let us take our fill of love from now until the morning. Not halfway through tonight, but all the way to the morning. Now look at this. You can tell this is dead wrong right here. For my husband is not at home. Now, man, see, I refer back to verse 7. Simple. Simple. Right? And how many men, women have gotten into trouble because they messed with somebody that was married? That's wrong. That's dead wrong. And this man should have knew. See, even if he didn't know, say he got caught up in the fact that she was a harlot and that just overwhelmed him. As soon as she said that my husband is not home, that should have said something right there. My husband. See, and I guess she gave him a little, she not only said that her husband was not home, but she even went on a little bit further and gave him some more security. And she said, he is gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and he will not come home until the appointed day. With her much fair speech, she has caused him to yield. With the flattery of her lips, she forced him. And so here we see. Go back. He's what? He's like an ox going to the slaughter. He's like a fool in the stocks. He's like a deer in a trap waiting for an arrow to come through his heart. And he's also like a bird getting ready to be caught up. That's a bad situation. So if you don't remember anything else that Pastor Glaze said, and I pray to God that young people will remember this. Remember this. He went to the wrong places. He hung with the wrong people, and he enjoyed the wrong pleasures. He desired, if you don't remember anything else about the message, remember those three things. That you will be all right. You know what, I'm saying that to the young people, but hopefully that there might be some adults that's on the verge of doing something petite, simple, right? And I'm trying to help you too. Stay away from the wrong places. Stay away from the wrong people and stay away from the wrong pleasures. Because you see what it got this guy into right here. Now, the beautiful thing as I close today is that we have the answer for the victory right here in the text. Right here in the text. And so I'm going to give it to you. How to deal with temptation. How could he have avoided this predicament? How could he have avoided this predicament? So when you flee temptation, be sure that you don't leave your forwarding address to the devil, because he'll find you. Three things. How could he have avoided this predicament? And you know, it seems these things that I'm going to say seem so simple. But if you just follow them, I guarantee you, if you just take these three verses the next time temptation comes your way and just read these three verses, maybe it'll help you. Verse 24, hearken unto me now, therefore, O children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Hearken, listen to me. Who is speaking in this passage? Wisdom. Wisdom is speaking. And again, just think about this young man. He was in the wrong place. He dealt with the wrong people, and he had the wrong pleasures. If he had just listened to wisdom, wisdom would have said, don't go down there. Listen to me. I'm calling out, don't go down there. And when you get around the wrong people, wisdom said, man, these people are not right for you. And you know it. You know they're not right. But you're still hanging out with, let them go, man. Let them go. They're going to be your destruction. And when you're dealing with the wrong pleasures, man, it's all right, the devil says, to get high. Oh, man, just think, man, I'm floating on cloud nine. Oh, man, this feels good. That's the wrong pleasure. That's the wrong pleasure, that your body is not designed to do that. That's not what God wants you to get high on. God doesn't want you to get high on substances of this world. Maybe there's other things that's giving you pleasure that are wrong, and you know that they're wrong. Let them go. Wisdom is crying out unto you. Wisdom is crying out, you know that is wrong. Now, if you don't think of anything else, just think of Pastor Glaze standing here today pleading with you, saying that you know what you're doing is not right. If you got any question, you need to talk to your parents or somebody, adult with some wisdom. And then when they tell you that it's not right, listen to them. Listen to them. Don't kick them to the curb. Don't say, don't say that's just the older generation. No! No, it's not about generation. Sin is sin. Wrong is wrong. And you know when it's not right. Seek wisdom. The next thing, and I'm not going to say a lot about this, but avoid temptation. Avoid it. Don't go where it's at. Verse 25, let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray into her paths. Don't go down that road. As simple as that. Stay away from anything that you feel is tempting you. Stay away. And then let me just leave this one. And this, you know what? I think that if a lot of men in power did what I'm getting ready to tell you, they wouldn't have failed. They wouldn't have failed. And that is ponder the consequences. Ponder the consequences. Verse 26. For she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell. Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. If nothing else, as you travel down that road, if nothing else, if you pass all the warning signs along the way, think about how you're going to end up. Think about all these men that are caught up in the Me Too, right? You think if they would have, somewhere along the line, here you got men of influence, men of power, men of means, wealth. And if they would have thought ahead to what is going to happen or what is happening to them now, hopefully that would have been a deterrent to doing something like that. Man, you know what? As a pastor, I want to keep my life clean. And one reason I want to keep my life clean, well, let me say two reasons. One reason is because, you know, I love my wife. And I want to be faithful. I love my wife, and I want to be faithful. And the second reason, I love to preach this word, man. I love to preach this word. And I just don't want anything that would stand in the way of me standing up here and proclaiming the word of God. A temporary, momentary pleasure is not worth forfeiting. The ability to be able to stand before the people of God and preach the word of God. And when you think about the consequences, man, somewhere, hopefully, that will be a deterrent to say, not worth it. Not worth it. Whatever you might be tempted with this morning, think of what it could lead to, and just ask yourself the question.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Word of Wisdom. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Where Did the Young Man Go Wrong? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, Where Did the Young Man Go Wrong? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, Where Did the Young Man Go Wrong? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.